Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Chof Aleph. We're holding the third line from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara begins, Tanya Kavasi Dereb Shila. As you'll recall, yesterday in the Gemara, we had a machloikis between Rav and Reb Shila, that when it says in the Mishnah, Koyre HaGever, what is the definition of Gever? Machloikis Rav and Reb Shila. Rav said, Gever means Kora Gavra. It was a crier, just like we had back in Masech Tishkolim, Kivini Kreuz. Mashenkin Reb Shila said that the word Gever means a rooster, when the rooster begins to crow. What's the Nafgimina? As we had back in the Mishnah, Legabe, when they did on the daily basis, the Truma Sadeshin. We brought a raya already to Rav's Pshat in the Brisa, which we concluded yesterday. And now we have a raya to Reb Shila, Tanik Vosid Reb Shila, that holds that it's a rooster. Hayoitz Laderach Koidim Kriyas Agever, a person who leaves early from his home. In the good old days, particularly people that lived in rural areas were very concerned about mazikin, and therefore people were not encouraged to travel at night. There was no light at night. Today we live in urban centers and there's plenty of light from the artificial lamps. That wasn't the case years ago. And so therefore anybody who left in the middle of the night, chas v'sholem, there was a potential problem with mazikim. So Zoktoch Tani Gvosa Reb Shila, Yoitz L'derech, Koidim Kriyas HaGever, a person who travels before Amud HaShachar, Amud HaShachar is roughly 72 minutes before Netzach Hamo. Domoy Beroishi, if Chas V'Sholom something happens, he shouldn't accuse anyone else. He should just look at himself in the mirror. He himself, it's a self-inflicted wound. Rabbi Yoishi Oimer Ad Sheyishna, that's only after he leaves before the second crowing of the rooster. V'yesh Oimer Ad Sheyishalish, until the third crowing of the rooster. In other words, the first crowing of the rooster, you're absolutely right. If you leave before then chas v'sholom dom b'roisha. According to Rabbi Yoshia, this extends even to the second time. According to Rabbi Yeshomim, to the third time. B'ezitarnigol omru, what type of rooster are we referring to? B'tarnigol beinani. The woman's tarnigol beinani explains Rashi. She'enim ma'her kriyosai v'loi ma'acher. It's not as if all roosters in the world all simultaneously begin to say cock-a-doodle-doo every single morning.
In a synchronized fashion.
Exactly. It is not synchronized. It is not a simultaneous orchestra of all the roosters.
They're annoying. They wake up
early. They're very annoying. So there are tarnigals that start a little bit earlier, then there are tarnigals that start a little bit later, and then there are tarnigals somewhere in between. So this is the tarnigal in between. It's not the earliest man. It's not the latest man. Be careful when you're leaving home at night to leave after the crowing of the rooster, not before the crowing of the rooster because of the mazik. Zokimar, Om Rav Yudam Rav. We said in the Mishnah that on Yom Toivim, they did the Truma Sedeshin much earlier at the Ashmoira HaRishoina, which means 10 o'clock. The reason why they did that, said the Mishnah, because Kanai Nahara, Groisa Oilam of Yidna are going to come to the Azara, and they wanted to make room for everyone, and they wanted to have enough time for everyone, so that as soon as possible we can start bringing the Tamid Shel Shachar, and that we can bring all of the private kabanos that everybody's bringing, the Oilas Re'iyah and Shalmei Chagiga. And therefore, bottom line is, they did the Truma Sedeshin much earlier than usual. Amar Vira Amarav, Bishoshi Yisrael Oilin LaRegel, when Yidin would come up for regular for Yom Toivim, Oimdim Tzvufim, they would stand in the Azara Tzvufim. Tzvufim literally means that they were packed solid, just like exactly, the American expression, the English expression, packed like sardines. Rashi says that the word Tzvufim comes to the word Tzuf. Tzuf means to float, and that people were so packed solid that some of the people, their legs weren't on the ground because they were being held up by the people to their front, to their back, on all sides. So they were floating.
With what just happened in reality.
Yeah, that's true, unfortunately. But here we have good news.
Right.
Okay. David Fishman says he's lost the audio. Hopefully everybody else hears me. Everybody else hears? I don't hear anybody else protesting. And
yes,
okay. So David, seems to be a problem with your machine. I'm sorry. But at least we can wave to each other. And we'll continue on. Zokti Gemara Vayter. So Bishol Yisrael Oilin LaRegel Oimim Tzvufim Mishtach Merevochim. They were very, very tightly packed. But when they had to go and bow down at the time of Tefillah, when you bow down on the ground, there was plenty of room. Just like when we prostrate ourselves on Yom Kippur. So they did that when they were in the Beis Midrash as well. So they prostrated themselves. And v'nimshachin achas esrei ama achoyre beis hakapoyres. And the oilim was so large that they spread out all over in the Ezra. Under normal circumstances, the Yisraelim stood only in the Ezras Yisrael, which was the first 11 amois as you enter into the Azara. But technically the Azara goes much beyond that. The Azara is not only the rest of the Azara, including the Mizbeach, to the right and to the left and to the north and to the south, but you can even continue beyond the area of what we call the Azara, beyond the area of what we call the Ulam and the Heichal HaKodshi Kudoshim, because you just went around, as we've had numerous times, in back of the Kodesh Kedushim, until the final wall of the Azara, there were 11 additional Amos. So, Yidden that came to be Oile Regel, there was no room in the Ezra Sisrael, so they all spread out, all the way even to the back of the Kodesh Kedushim, on all sides. From Rashi, as a shtickle mashma, they did not occupy the 11 amois of the Ezra's Kohanim that they left for the Kohanim, but otherwise they spread out all over from the right and from the left, from the top, from the bottom, all sides, all the way to the back of the Kodesh Kodashim. And what does it say? That they were Mishtach v'Revachim. Freitimor Maika Omar. What's bothering the Gemara is that we started off saying that this is really miraculous. The people are standing tightly, floating like sardines, and then when it comes to go and bow, there was plenty of room. Mishtach v'Revachim. Rashi says that they had four amis on all sides to be able to go and be mishtachva, even though a moment ago when they were standing, there was not room even for a pin. That's how squeezed it was. And then we say, oh, by the way, and then they were nimshach, they spread out for another 11 amis. Didn't you just tell me that there was miraculously enough room? Why are they spreading out another 11 amis, achoyre beis hakapoyres, in back of the Kodesh Kodeshim? If there's enough room, there's enough room. It's by miracle. But l'maaseh, it works. It says the Gemara, hachi kama. No, you misunderstood what I meant. What I meant to say is, afol pishin imshachim achas esrei ama achoyre beis hakapoyres, v'yom dem tzvufim. Even though I'm trying to prove my point very emphatically and very graphically, that it was so squeezed that they had to spread out all over to every conceivable space, every conceivable corner throughout the Azara, in the back, in the front, in the top, in the bottom, everywhere. Nevertheless, when it came time for Mishtachvim Revachim, there was plenty of room for everybody to go bow down and prostrate themselves on the floor. Mikdash was one of the 10 miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, before we continue, there's a beautiful part of the Helik Chasam Sofer, which I wanted to share with you, and that is, Chasam Sofer uses this Gemara not only literally, but also as a metaphor. Meaning, very often when people get into a very heated debate, people are omed al datam. Omed al datam means they refuse to budge and they say, I am right and you are wrong. This is the way it's got to be. This is what I believe in. What you're saying is nonsense and I disagree. And the other person, of course, responds in kind. And he says, ha ha, and I think that what you're saying is ridiculous. Exactly. And they cannot get anywhere. However, notice if people are willing to negotiate and to settle, and they're willing to bend just a little bit, then things become so much easier to work out a deal, to work out a settlement. So if you don't budge and you feel, oh, I'm Oymed Al Dati, I am not going to budge for a second, life can be very, very difficult because there's no way to talk to this guy. However, if a person is willing to bend a little bit, life becomes so much easier. So he says that's the pshat here in the Gemara. Those people that are oymed al datam, that refuse to bend and to budge, and they stand on their rights and they stand on their views, tzvufim. Life can be very, very tight and very difficult. But once in mishtachva, if they're willing to bend a little bit, revachim, then they find that life is so much easier to deal with, because people then hopefully begin to negotiate and to settle and to talk, etc., etc. That's, you have to stretch a little bit. I think that's what we're saying. I understand. Mikdash is one of the 10 miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash that now we learned in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. There were 10 nisim. Number one, lahipila isha mireach psar hakodesh. When the psar hakodesh was roasting in the Azara and it smelled so good, the uber inside the mummy's stomach might say, that really smells good. I'd like to come out and take a piece. And that might lead Chas V'Shalom to her being mappled, to having a miscarriage. Or Hashem, that never happened. Never happened. That was number one. Number two, V'lo Yisriach Basar Hegdish Me'olam. Even though there's always concern that Hegdish, the Basar Hegdish, should not become Nosar, and presumably from time to time people did not finish the carbon in time, and therefore it became Nosar, and particularly if you're talking about a carbon shlomim, if you didn't eat it in 2 days, and it became Nosar, and there was no refrigeration, you would anticipate that some of the meat would ultimately begin to rot, and begin to have a smell, a stench. Never happened. Number three, v'lo nira zvu be'beis ha-mitbachayim. They never found, beis ha-mitbachayim is where they had those 8 tables on the tzofin side of the mizbeach, where they had to go and rinse the karbonos. You never found any zvuvim, any flies. V'lo yira kere the kohen gadol b'yom kippurim. And never happened that the kohen gadol had kere b'yom kippurim. In other words, Baruch Hashem, all of the things that we learned back in the last few Mishnayos, where the Pirchei Kahuna and others, and we told the Kohen Gadol, don't go to sleep, etc. You would think that occasionally a Kohen Gadol would doze off after all in Chas V'Shalom. No, it never happened. In the entire time of the Beis Hamikdash, we never had a problem with the Kohen Gadol seeing Keri. Omer is, of course, what you bring the first day of Chol HaMoed. Shtei Alechem we bring on Shavuos, and Lechem upon we have every single Shabbos. If any one of these would have become possible, it would have caused problems. Because by the Omer, they did the Ktsiras Omer the night before. That is Matzah Yontov HaRishon. And they went there and they took the new grain, and they had to go and toast it in the oven because it was still moist. And then after that, they had to grind it up into flour. And from the flour, they had to go and sift it. And then they had to go and make from it the carbon omer, to make the flour, etc. So the point is, they only made a small amount. They didn't make a huge amount. And if the omer that they prepared in advance became pasul, there was no backup. There was no standby to speak of.
What's called pasul?
Pasul means, for instance, it's something touched that was tamei, or it became pasul by going outside the Beis Hamikdash, it became pasul biyotze. You're very welcome. So it never ever occurred that it touched tumah. It never ever occurred that it became pasul biyotze. So we never had to worry about the fact, I don't have a standby omer. And the same thing applies to shtei halechem on Shavuos, and the same thing lechem panim every Shabbos. You never had to worry, Baruch Hashem, everything was always kosher. And that the next day service was, like we just said a moment ago, they stood taut, but they were able to go bet. That you never had someone ever having a hezik from a snake bite or a bite of a scorpion in Yerushalayim. Even though you had all these people coming up for the pilgrimage for Yontif to Yerushalayim, no one ever said, "Oy, I don't have room. It's difficult." Baruch Hashem, there was room for everyone. Everyone always had a bed somewhere. Everyone had a place to sleep overnight, and you had to sleep overnight because the mitzvah of Yontif is that you cannot leave in the morning. You have to go and stay in Yerushalayim the whole day and sleep overnight, and only leave the next morning. Nobody ever said sinishtu kaplatz. It's tight. Baruch Hashem, it was always fine. Now, if we count all of these up quickly, you'll see we start off with Le'yipila Isha Mereach Basar Hegdish, that was one. Le'yisriach Basar Hegdish Me'olam is 2. Le'nir Zvuv is 3. Le'ira Keri is 4. Le'nimtza Psul Ba'omer is 5. Shtei Alechem is 6. Lechem Uponim is 7. Om Nimtzuf Mejach Mervachim is 8. Le'hizik Nachish Ve'akram Yishalayim Me'olam is 9. Le'omer Odom Le'chaber Tzali Amakayim is 10. Oh, exactly 10. And the 10 included Le'nimtza Psul Ba'omer as 1, Shtei Alechem as 2, Lechem Uponim as 3, all included in the 10. Now I got a big problem, because we started off that there are 10 Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash. And the last 2 that we just mentioned were not in the Beis HaMikdash, it was in Yerushalayim. Le'hizik Nochesh V'akar Yerushalayim. Nobody suffered from a snake bite or a scorpion bite. And no one said in Yerushalayim, Tzar li hamakoyim. So Frank Dimara, Pasach b'migdash v'siyem b'Yerushalayim. Doesn't make sense. There are only 8 related to the Beis HaMikdash, not 10. Everything more, you're absolutely right. Ikatarti achra naisa ba migdash. There are two more in the base of migdash that we forgot or that we left out. What are the others? Two. The sani we learned in the brayis me olam lekavu gishamim eish shel atzei hamaracha. On top of the azara, there was no ceiling, no roof, and so therefore it could rain occasionally into the azara. So you would think that if it rained, it might go and extinguish the fire on the mizbeach. And the answer is that never happened. Never happened. You didn't have to worry about the fire on the maracha, on the mizbeach going out. That's number 9. And number 10 is the oshen hamaracha afila kol rucha shemboilim boisim menashvis boi ein mezidos oisimim koyvai. As the oshen maracha is going straight up, even if you have northern winds and southern winds blowing in all directions, they were never able to go and cause the oshen. Oshen is the smoke coming up from maracha, from the burning karbonos. The oshen never swerved to the right or to the left. It didn't get dispersed. It always went straight.
And remained a pillar.
Boys menashe, they couldn't go and push it to the side or cause it to disperse. So we got now 10 altogether. We added 2 more. Frank more vesulech, we have nothing else. What tanya have embraced? Rav Shmaya Bekalnevoy said that shibri klicheres nevloim bimkoimon, that if you had a klicheres that broke in the azora, you let it go on the ground and it would be miraculously swallowed up by the ground. Now, why would they have shibrei klicheres in the first place? So let's look at the third wide line of Rashi down below shibrei klicheres. This is Rashi. Shemavashlan behem. Those were used to go and cook the kodshi kudishim. After all, the kahanim ate the kodshi kudishim in the azara, so they had to go and first cook it. So they cooked it in whatever, pots, pans, what have you, and many of them were made out of cheres. Ublios ne'eseres mishum noiser. After this man that you're no longer allowed to go and eat from the carbon, when it becomes noiser the next morning, all the blios, all of the absorbed tam in the walls of these klicheres, it's now permeated with noiser. What do you do with klicheres? Tun and shvira. Kidachsev, klicheres hashetavushal boy yishover. Ushvirase bimokim kodesh. Not only do you have to go and break these klicheres because there's no way of being metayer, then there's no way of purging the isur in the bliois in the walls. You have to go and break it. But the breakage has to take place in the azara. Kinamrin and hasub zvachim. We learn in Masechta Zvachim. Vim ein nivloim. If the broken pieces of pottery wouldn't get swallowed up by the ground, nimtu ashposoi shel shvorim ba'azara, then you'd have a whole bunch of heaps of broken pottery all over the azara. And that cannot be. So therefore, says Reb Shmaya Bekalnevoy, back to the Gemara, that the shivri klicheres nevlon bimkoyman, they got swallowed up in the ground. And Abaye says, I have another one. What does that mean? That the Moira Benoitza of the Oyla Sa'oif, instead of putting it onto the Mizbeach, they threw it,
pitched it
onto the floor next to the Kevesh, next to the Mizbeach. And Vedish Mizbeach HaPanimi means that every day they brought the Ketoiris on the Mizbeach HaPanimi in the Heichol, so that had to be cleaned up. So they cleaned up those ashes from the Ketoiris and they placed it next to the Kevesh on the ground. And Vedish HaMenoira, the residue of the Menoira every day. All of that was put on the ground next to the Kevesh, and Evloim Bimkoiman, miraculously, they never had to clear it away. It was Nivul Bimkoiman. It's interesting that the Gemara leaves out the Dishon Mizbeach HaChitzoin, which is the daily Truma Sadashon, that was also placed there next to the Mizbeach, and it doesn't say anything about the fact that it was Nevloim Bimkoiman. So that's, we have the last Toises over here. You see, Nevloim Bimkoiman says Toises, Peter Shirah Porat, Tehu Adin, Dishon Mizbeach HaChitzoin, Ve'nirler Be'netam, Diminole HaYisvara. This is not a logical thing. Either happened or it didn't happen. Kimon Le'choshev Le'bari Adach, Hanei Adach, since it is not enumerated together with the others, it sounds like it was not. Anyway, so Toises goes back and forth. So that we always have in our minds that the Dishon of the Mizbeach HaChitzoy, meaning the daily Trumas Adeshon, that it was miraculously Nivla B'mkomo, in fact, it's a Machloikis HaRishonim in this Toises and elsewhere. But the majority view is that it was Nivla B'mkomo, but it is striking that it's missing here from our Gemara.
The Rabbi Nelson, didn't they pitch it from the south,
west corner to the...
They had to throw it. They had to pitch it, like you said. And had to go approximately 30 amas to go and traverse from one side to the other. You're absolutely right. So I have a problem. We started off by saying that there are 10. Okay, so we took out the two from Yishalayim. We substituted another two. So we're down to 10. But now we just added two more. The Shivrei Kelim and the Moir V'Noitza. Nivlebim Koyman. So, Chorde 12. Evdimor Psulat Losahava Choshvinu Kechat. What we have to do is, remember in the middle we had V'Leinimsa Psul Ba'omer, Shtei Alechem, and Lechem upon him. And those we counted as three. We're now going to go and collapse all of those and say, it's one Psul. In other words, Psul of Oymishtei Lechem, Lechem upon him, that's considered one. So therefore, if we take off two out of the three, we have now room to substitute another two. And that's what the Gemara says. Psulei Tlosahava, the three that we cheshmen out before, then we said, no psul in the Omer Shtei Lechem, Lechem upon him. Cheshvinu kechat, only go and reckon them, enumerate them as if they were one. And therefore, Apik Trei, now subtract two, Vayu Treis. And now there's room for pushing in two more, the two more that we just discussed, the Shivri Kli Cheres, as well as the Moir V'Noitza. Freit Mori Hachi Bluim Nami Trei Hava. If that's the case, the two new ones that Rav Shmaya the Kalnavoy just added, here added one and Abaye added the second one, both of these are Nivla Bim Koimon. If that's the case, we should count them also as one. That the Shivrei Kli Cheres and the Noitz V'Dish, the Mizbeach, HaPanimi, etc., all live in Bim Koimon. That's all one. And why are you counting it as two? Yehochim Bluim Nami Trei Hava. Choshvinu B'chad Chosluhu. And therefore we're going to have one missing. I have yet another one that I'm going to put in. So in other words, I agree, the three psulim counts as one. Count these two nivloim cases of the klicheres and the dishon all as one. I have room for one more. Yes, let's put in one more. Then Reb Shimon Levi, Neis Gadol Hayah, Nas B'lechem upon him. Everybody knows the famous Nas. Silukoi Kisi Duroi. Even though each time they took off the lechem upon him from the shulchan a week after it was baked, it was still warm. The day you're taking it off the shulchan, it's still hot, still warm, it's still steaming. So that was nase number 10. I have more nisim, Baruch Hashem. This, the following, we have the mesoida from our avos. The mokum oroin einoi min hamida. That although the oroin, of course, occupied space physically, however, if you measured the kodesh kodashim, you weren't able to pin down any real space.
This is real. Without form, maybe?
It was certainly all spiritual. But what's going on is the one end of the Azara to the other was 20 by 20. It was a square of 20 by 20. So if you measured from the right wall to the left wall, you took a measuring stick, a measuring rod, whatever, you got exactly 20 amas. And then if you measured from the wall, from let's say the right wall to the Oroin, you got 10 amas. You went from the Oroin to the other wall, all to 10 amas. 20 amas altogether. Well, how could that be? Here's 20. I saw you in Benes that the Oroin did not occupy any space in the base, in the Kodesh Kodashim. And the Gemara says the same thing applies to the Kruvim. Zogti Gemara, the Amr Rabbi Noi, Amr Shmuel, Kruvim Benes Hayoimdin. Now, the Kruvim that we're talking about are not the Kruvim which are on top of the Oroin. That's, if you will, part of the Oren, that's on top of the Kapoyis. Here we're talking about Kruvim that were made by Shlomo Melech, and these were in fact on the floor of the Kodesh Kodoshim, and their wings had a wingspan from one end to the other. And let's look at the last Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Baruch Kruvim, B'nei Tzayoyimim, Gufi HaKruvim, Gufi means the bodies of the Kruvim, as opposed to the wings of the Kruvim. She'osa Shloimoi, that Shloimoi Melech made, Umdin Ba'oret, they're standing on the ground. Eitzel Oroin, next to the Oroin, beside the mini Kruvim that are on top of the Oroin, there's these two huge ones which are on the floor. Echad B'tzofen, Yech B'doron, one in the north, one in the south. Ubikanfeim Esrim Ama Prusois, Mikir Alkir. And when their wings were out, the total span was 20 amas from one wall to the other. Kirchziv kanafa kruv chomish amas. Nimtzu hakanafai machzikim is kolacholol. They filled up the entire space and area within the Kodesh Kodashim. Nimtzu oivi aguf einem enemida. Since it's the wings that took up 20 amas from one end to the other, what happens to the little guf in between? That was so small, that Einam and Amida, that didn't have any measure, just like we said by the art. So this is yet another nes that we had in the Beis Hamikdash. So Rabbi Yisai, we got two more, which we did not mention. Ever the Gemara, back to the Gemara, three lines from the bottom. Nisi Debroi Kochoshev. Those nisim which were apparent that you could see from the outside, those are the ones that we are enumerating. Nisi the Gavoi, but nisim that happened inside the Kodesh Kadoshim. None of us were able to go into Kodesh Kadoshim. Even the Kohen Gadol couldn't go, except one day a year on Yom Kippur. That being the case, nobody was able to go and record the Nes, so to speak. Nobody can go and take a YouTube or a picture with a camera. It's Yom Kippur. So, Nisim the Gavoi, like Kachasha, we're not mentioning those, only mentioning those which are out of the open. But you included before the Lechem upon him. Isn't that also Nisi the Gavoi? Why would that be? Because the Lechem upon him was always on the Shulchan, inside the Heichel. Nobody went into the Heichel except for a few Kehanim on Shabbos, but the rank and file of Klal Yisrael couldn't see the Lechem upon him. It was hidden behind closed doors there in the Heichel. Isn't that also Nisi the Gavoi? Everything more, no. Lechem upon him, Nisi the Broihu. In fact, the Lechem upon him was something that was visible and was seen by Klal Yisrael during the year at least three times. The Omer Ish Lakish, Ma'at Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, Al HaShulchan HaTohar. What means the Shulchan is Tohar? Tohar Mechlal Shu Tomei. It's Mashal that the Shulchan can be Mekabel Tuma. How can it be Mekabel Tuma? After all, it's a Kli Eita Osel Hanachasu. V'chol Kli Eita Osel Hanachas Eina Mekabel Tuma. We learn from a Pasuk in Rashi, brings it in the top line. Mikol Kli Eit, Oy Veged, Oy Oyer, Oy Sok. All of these can be Mekabel Tuma. And the Gemara Dash is because it says Kli Eit, together with Sak, the masak metal to molibrekon, just like a sack or a bag, you can go and carry it when it's full with items, as well as when it's empty. So the only time a kli eitz is mekabel tuma if it's metal to molibrekon, also if it's transported, you carry it and you can put things in it, etc. So the shulchan was something that always stayed in one place, never moved, never budged. If that's the case, how it can be mekabel tuma? It's a kli eitz or sila nachas. Therefore, why does the pasuk say Shulchan HaTohar Tohar Mechlal Shu Tameh that it can be Mekabel Tumah? How can it be Mekabel Tumah if it's not Osui to move around to Metal Tumah of Reikon? It cannot be Mekabel Tumah, and it's Choytzev from there Tumah. Elgin Mel Malami Shemagvin Oisel Oyler Regalim. Oh, they did pick it up three times a year when the Oyler Reikon would come, the Oyman Lahem, and people would announce, Rabbi Yisai, look, Ruchi Baskel of Neamokim, look how Klal Yisrael is so dear to Kadosh Baruch Hu Shesiluka Kisi Durai. It's still piping hot. Everybody can see that the steam is coming up. So therefore, since it's a public spectacle, this beautiful nes, it's considered to be a nes migavoi, mibroi, an outside nes and not an inside nes. Yeah.
Everybody saw the kahanim, or
at least a few kahanim. Yeah, right.
This is a bit of better terrence.
Okay.
More people saw it.
Okay. Many means you don't have to come onto this chiddush that they picked it up. Even if we would conclude that they never moved it, but at least you still had a few kahanim that would come out and say, "Oh, we saw it. We found it."
Every mission
wasn't a chiddush. It wasn't a chiddush. They did it.
Okay. The Sulek of Reg Dimor, you don't have any more. I got more. From Rav Uishia, Bishoah, Shabbana, Shloim, and Beis Hamikdash, not to buy kol minei megodim shel zohav. But Shloim HaMelech went and planted in the ground fruits which were not natural fruits, but fruits made out of gold. And he planted them in the Beis Hamikdash. Voyimoytzien, perisein bizmanan. Every year, when the new crop would grow, guess what? New golden peiros. Now, we don't mean golden, delicious apples. We're talking about real gold would grow out. Ukisha ruach menesheves behen. And from time to time, when there would be a bit of a wind coming from any direction, then noishrin. Then the noishrin poshapshap means that the fruits would come down and fall to the floor. However, Rashi seems to learn that the word noishrin over here means makishin, that they would make sounds. In other words, they bang against each other in the wind, and you'd hear the golden fruit. Literally, the golden fruit banging back and forth. Shinema yirash kalavonain perioi. You'd hear the rash in the levonain. Levonain doesn't mean Lebanon. Levonain is a reference to the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, shenichlasu nochrim leheichel. Ultimately, when the goyim came in and they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, Yovesh, once again, miraculously, all of these fruits died out, as well as the tree that grew the fruits died. They all dried out. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, Ufarach levonoin umlal. Ah, that Perach and levonoin now is os. The osik nirboch lachziran, and eventually Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring it back. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, Paroyach tifrach besogel afgilas veranin kvoira levonoin nosala. So therefore, we got yet another ness. Says Yimar Nisa Dikvi like a choshev. The nisim that happened on a daily basis, for instance, this that you had the fruits growing, that happened constantly at all times. This was ongoing. And therefore, like a kosher, that we're not going to mention. We're only going to mention those nisim that only happened once in a while. This was an ongoing thing, 365 days a year. And therefore, that we didn't enumerate. Once we come on to this teret, then oronu kruvim nami nisa dekviyinenu. That you said before, that the oroin ain't a minamida, ukruvim ain't a minamida. And therefore you said, we got two more. And what did Gemara answer? This is nisi devroi, and not the gavoi, not devroi. In other words, these were inner nisim that you couldn't see the whole year because it was in the Kodesh Kadashim. Only those that come out, those you see. Here too, this about the this nest that we're talking about, the Megodim on top of the tree, also was not seen the whole year. No, I'm sorry. Just like we said now, Nisi Dekvi are not enumerated. These two, the Orna Kruvim, since it was a Nisi Dekvi, that means it was ongoing 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, that they had no measure, any minamida. That's why they are not included. We'll stop over here. Rabbi Yisai mentioned to be continued tomorrow morning. Sorry, I have to run to a brisk Zagabench.